Well, I think we can get started. I wanted to read to you for this devotional from John 21, John chapter 21. This is what it says. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, most of the appearances of our Lord Jesus took place on the first day of the week. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but this one did not. This one took place on a weekday. And it's fitting that it should be so, because the Lord is with his people and observing his people, not only on the Lord's day, but also in their work, also in what they do during the week. And here we have an instance of it following the resurrection. This is the third time that Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples. There were a number of appearances that he made, confirming that he really was raised from the dead. The words that I've just read to you have been written down for our instruction, our encouragement. We who believe in Jesus, who has been raised from the dead. And Jesus is with us in our common labors, as well as in our spiritual labors for him. He makes himself known in the ordinances of worship, but he also is greatly concerned with the things of everyday importance that we involve ourselves in. And so instances of Jesus' manifesting himself are carefully chosen by John so that we might benefit from the lessons taught to the disciples who were there. Jesus chooses the times and the ways that he manifests himself spiritually, in connection with his word, with the everyday lessons of life. That is, in his providence. Now we learn here first that it's good to take the initiative to work and to provide for your needs and to use your time wisely. These men had not yet entered upon their great commission work, but they were in the waiting stage. And still they would be busy and profit from their work. It's a good example to us that we need to do what we can while we can. And we need to think about doing what we can while we can. And not just let time go by and not just drift. But that whatever we find to do, that we'll do it with all of our might. Sometimes as Christians, though initiative is not enough to guarantee success in what we're doing, sometimes more is needed. And you see that here because secondly, we learn that Christ observes us with compassion in all of our endeavors, in all of our efforts that we put forth. Verse 4, whether they're great or small endeavors, the Lord Jesus is watching you with a caring, sympathetic eye. Jesus stood on the shore, it says here. The disciples did not know it was him at first. Jesus now is in heaven at the right hand of God. He's not far away from any of his people, however. His spirit is within us. His eye is on the sparrow. He is on the shore, and we are in the boat. Matthew Henry says, Christ's time of making himself known to his people is when they are most at a loss, when they think that they have lost themselves. He will let them know that they have not lost him. And you see, I think that following Jesus' resurrection, there were times when the apostles were unsure. When he first was raised from the dead, they didn't even believe. I'll speak to you about that later on today. But we need to understand that Jesus is with his people, and Jesus is concerned to help us in our endeavors to provide for ourselves and to further his kingdom. Verses 5 to 7, he saw them as children, he says here. Jesus says, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. He says, then cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Now, you realize they've been fishing all night, and they caught nothing. So it isn't just a matter of your putting forth efforts that brings you success in what you are doing, either in regard to your work, your job, or in regard to spiritual things and the results of those things, those efforts that you make. But notice how the Lord directed them to the other side of the boat where they would be successful. The Lord Jesus is the one who makes us successful in what we do to whatever degree. All of our hope of success lies in obeying his word as to what we should do and how we should proceed. And the Lord would show us our dependence upon him, even in the most common things of life, even in our everyday labor, in our daily bread. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we're to thank him for our daily bread, because we're dependent upon him for our daily bread. Sometimes we forget that. But it's good when we can discern our Lord's hand in our work. Fifthly, we learn that Jesus would have us to bring the fruit of our labors, the catch, to him to add to what he has already prepared. Verses 8 to 11. The other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. So all that we labor for, whether it's in providing for ourselves physically or spiritually, and every success that we have in our labors, which brings a good result from Christ himself, all of these things we ought to take notice of. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. And yet, at Jesus' request, they cast the net on the other side of the boat. They have this huge haul of fish, 153, and yet the net is not broken. See, all of these things the Lord takes notice of. All of these details the Lord is in. And you and I need to be thankful that this is so. These men were instructed to bring some of what they had and to add it to what Christ had already prepared for them. And the catch that they had gotten was very large. And yet we see that this net was not damaged at all. At one point, I remember earlier on, Their nets were breaking. They had so many fish that they were hauling in at Jesus' request that they cast their net out. Jesus had made the fire of coals, and on it were laid fish and bread for the disciples to eat. Jesus would have us to eat from our labors and to see that it all comes from him, even though we have worked to obtain it. In spiritual labors, we're dependent upon him as well. The 153 large fish may represent the number of the races, tribes, and tongues and nations of the world, from which the church fishes out men and women and children to God's everlasting glory. And all of God's elect will be gathered in the church, laboring together for what with what Christ has supplied to them. And there will be every reason to rejoice that we have done what we could with the time and the resources that he has given to us. We will never regret working hard in accordance with his written word and the moving of his spirit to bless our efforts. And that way, he will have all the glory for whatever we haul in with the gospel net when we drag it up on the shore of heaven. And then lastly, we learn that Jesus would have us to breakfast with him, verses 12 to 14. Jesus always has more to give us than what we will labor for ourselves, both materially and spiritually. Jesus would have us to know and to understand that he especially desires spiritual communion and fellowship with his people. Come and have breakfast. Come and have fellowship with me. Come and dine with me. Come and have spiritual communion with me. And even so, this morning, the Lord has given to all of us this good breakfast, which we have just eaten. And he is giving us good spiritual things to feed upon as well. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. These things the resurrected Christ gives to us, his people, in order that we should give him thanks for them. As we gather together here this morning, let's remember all the good ways in which he leads us and guides us and helps us and provides for us. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for this time, this devotional, and the way that your word speaks to us of your being with us and desiring fellowship and communion with us this morning. Around these breakfast tables, we praise you for all that you have done for us in preparation, and we praise you also that we can labor for you, as the hymn writer says, from the dawn till setting sun, and see fruit for our labor. We pray that you would give us fruit for our labors here as a church, and bless us in coming days with these good things that you speak of in your word. Even as you already have, we give you thanks for all that we do have. And we pray, looking expectantly to you, for all that you will help us with and all that you will give in the future. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen.